The 46 Gene Key. The transformational pathway of the 46 Gene Key moves from seriousness to ecstasy, and it's the path of delight. The 46 Gene Key contains a delicious teaching, and it's all about luck, good luck and bad luck. And the dilemma of this shadow is fortune, and the shadow itself is the shadow of seriousness. So right away we know that seriousness is somehow connected to luck. And what do we mean by luck? It sounds like a Western word, a roll of the dice. Well, in the West here, we have inherited this modern scientific worldview that sees life as random and as chance. And if you go back just sort of 500 years, that worldview simply didn't exist. And everything before that we now tend to consider as sort of naive. So it wasn't long ago that we all believed in God. You know, granted we didn't understand much of our world and we were pretty violent, as we still in fact are. But we did have a deeper understanding than we do now of fortune. If you go over to India, you'll find a very ancient and mature understanding about these things. You know, they have had a long tradition of sages who've embodied the principles of divinity. The teaching of karma, for example, through Buddha, it cleared up a lot, you know, that there's a veil between life and death, and that the soul transmigrates from lifetime to lifetime through age to age, and one day it matures and learns what it is, that it's a piece of God submerged in matter. So fortune is connected directly to our behavior over great spans of time. And in underneath everything, there's a sense of justice. And that's a nice story. And in fact, it's rather logical. But the cherry on the cake, the trick, is that we don't always remember the reasons for the karma because we don't remember our lives beyond the veil. So we don't see the big picture. And that little detail is what makes the drama. It makes us serious. And if we could see that every thought, word, deed, and act we make has direct consequences for our future, you know, the world would clean itself up really fast. You know, we create our own good or bad fortune. And this Gene Key will show us that. So seriousness is about how deeply submerged we are in the drama. And to glimpse the other side, it's to spoil the game. It's like someone telling you the outcome of a great story before the storytellers reach the end. But sooner or later, when our fortune dictates it, we are going to see the joke. We may not share it, because how can you easily share it with others when they're submerged in the seriousness and the suffering? But there is a path out of the pain. Seriousness is all about attachment. That's all. And the deeper we are in the Maya, the illusion of life, the more attached we are and the more constricted things are. You know, the programming partner here is the 25th shadow of constriction. And you can't breathe with that constriction. To forget your eternal nature is really to take on a deep level of constriction. And this Gene Key is also part of the genetic family called the codon ring of matter, which reinforces the belief at the shadow level that the material world is all there is. So how to move out of that seriousness? You know, it's no joking matter. Excuse the pun. Loosen your attachments. That's an answer, potentially. Loosen your attachments. And begin. You can begin with your mind. Begin with your beliefs, with your mental opinions, which are based on good and bad. And there is no good and bad. There is only the playing out of the mechanics of fortune. Bad behavior simply leads to a consequence. It takes you deeper into matter. Good behavior loosens the grip of matter. And I leave it to you to figure out what good and bad behavior means. You know, life shows us what that is, all on its own. You know, it's like this game I play sometimes with my kids. You know, you grip them really tight, and then the more they struggle, the tighter your grip becomes. But then when they kind of hold still, you gradually make your grip looser and you begin to open. And then they suddenly try and break free, and your grip instantly tightens. And it's a great game, and all kids love it. because it's a universal law that you're playing with. And they eventually figure out how to escape by doing nothing. But man, are we serious? You know, and I got to say that the spiritual people are the most serious. And we get locked into these tight little systems, and then we, with our tight teachers, and then we play out our politics within them. You know, if there's a system you're using, it should be so loose in order for it to be truly transformational. You know, I meet so many serious Buddhists and light workers and human design believers or whatever raiment they've put on. It just becomes a layer of constriction for many people. Not all, but many. And if you can sit, you know, if you can sit and be human with me or with another, you know, if you can laugh at your own system, then I know that you're wearing it lightly. And it's just a method for you to move beyond the matter. But most of the time, we just become stuck and ossified in these things. And for many people, it's, you know, it's science. For others, it's politics. And for others, again, it's service or religion. You know, we get bogged down in our own seriousness. And the worst thing about that is that it gets in the way of friendship. You know, friendship can only develop between two people when there is openness, humor, and love. But, you know, fortune favors the fool. You know, the one who can see the joke but still respects the drama. Suffering is suffering. People are dying and being raped and life is horrible and the world is filled with corruption. Yes, that is no joking matter. But behind all that, there's a reason for everything. We're here to learn. We're here to loosen our grip within the illusion and to realize that death is a falsehood. And then we can begin to reshape our own fortune. And you can do this right now. That's the exciting thing. You can change your view right now. You know, begin to act selflessly. Begin to think selflessly. Change gears in your life and things will slowly change around you. I mean, it takes time. You may not see the impact even until your next lifetime. But know that karma is real and that justice lies behind everything. You know, what an adventure we've landed in. The 46th gift, delight. The magic for me of the Gene Keys is that it isn't just knowledge. It's not a head trip that you have to learn and fill your head with. It just shows you this very simple truth, which anyone can try any time. Try this. Be nice for a day and see what your next day is like. And be nasty for a day and see what your next day is like. It couldn't be simpler. You know, no head trip in that. Just learning from life. And the 46th gift, it's the gift of delight. It's what happens when you discover the secret that your acts, your thoughts, and your words really do have an impact that returns to you. Very few people actually live with delight. We've mostly forgotten what life is for. And delight, it comes only with a beginner's mind. It comes from a certain sense of innocence. When you've realized the truth of the principles of karma, then everything just becomes simpler for you. There's a stage where the negativity of the shadow has to be challenged inside you, and it has to be transcended, and it has to be replaced. And a new you starts growing in that space as you empty yourself out. And as you unlearn knowledge and discover the living wisdom of life, you know, and then your body just starts to zing with life. You know, you reset your body clock. Maybe you start waking up earlier with the sun, or maybe you finally sleep a truly deep and restful sleep. And you cultivate habits that your body truly enjoys, rather than those fleeting addictive pleasures that you then have to pay for later. You know, life is a box of delights. There are too many delights to name and number. And this gene key governs the key developmental stage in our childhood between the age of, well, between birth and seven. And this is the key foundational stage of building the physical body and the internal organs. So through the gene keys, and particularly your Venus sequence from the Golden Path program, through deep contemplation, you may re-experience some of the challenges of that time in your childhood as your contemplation deepens. But you get to re-imprint the way your cells were first imprinted. You get to lay down a new copy of yourself in your DNA. And the key building block of that is the energy of delight. You know, matter does not have to be heavy. It can be very refined and wonderfully sensual. The 46th gift is a very sensual gift, but not in the sense of sexuality, so much as physicality. In the same way a child is sensual. You know, this was a period, the seven-year period, before puberty. You know, so it was before the sexual organs really developed fully. You know, so, you know, the child tastes everything. The young child tastes everything through their body, through their senses. And think about that. You know, you have a genius for delight. You know, think about that. What use is that in business, you may wonder? A genius for delight. What use is that in the modern world? And what does it mean, a genius for delight? It means that you are desperately needed. It means that you bring perspective to everything. Wherever there's deep attachment and seriousness, your presence and your wisdom brings things down to the heart of the matter. Why are we here? Why are we doing this? You know, there are many possible answers to that question, but surely one of them is we're here to appreciate life and to enjoy ourselves. You know, a master of living life well is a rare phenomenon. You know, how often do you meet such a person? We're so focused on task-oriented living, on skills and projects and endeavors. But the 46th gift, it's not focused there. You know, they may be involved in all of those things, but their priority is to bring a light touch to everything they do and to bring good fortune into the world. The 46th gift is a great gift of love. It lives through the heart. It's fluent in the language of emotion, but never overwhelmed by emotion. It loves dialogue, connection, touch, laughter, good food and good living. It loves wine. And I mean that. A 46th gene key that can't enjoy the fruits of the earth, even in very small measures, it's no 46th gift. Not truly. The 46th city, ecstasy. And in these transformational ways, I keep coming back to the figure of Dionysus. You know, the new paradigm coming into the world is one of fusion, of the melding of heaven and earth, of the spiritual and the material. And for the great mutation, for the great change to impact the whole of humanity, it must become human. And this is what the city of ecstasy is. And you might have thought that ecstasy takes place only in some far-off spiritual dimension. But actually it takes place right here among human beings. Because we are natural-born ecstatics. But to allow that level of beauty into our inner being, we have to unlearn many of our masculine traits. You know, to court ecstasy, we have to become contemplative. We have to slow down. It's why I keep saying this. We have to pause so that we come once again into communion with the elements, with nature, with each other. Ecstasy is a swell. It swells inside our breast. You can actually cultivate ecstasy like a gardener. You just have to tend to the garden of your inner being. Ecstasy is like a garden where the gardener has done just enough to create the feeling of natural order. And in such a garden, plants are allowed to dance, but no single plant is permitted to dominate. Wildness is crafted and respected, and there's no dominant human ego projecting itself into the garden. And therefore the garden sings, because it's tended always with a light touch. And you can design just such a life for yourself. It takes care and time, like any garden, and it takes a deep sensitivity. You know, you need to go out and sit in that garden and listen to its inner world, its frequencies and its vibrations. And wherever a part of your being is expressing a little too violently, a little too brashly, you go in with the pruning shears and you reshape that area. You know, and you do this with your awareness. You prune with your awareness. You don't go in with heavy machinery. You tend to little corners of your being. And over time, you will reshape every aspect of your life. And when your inner being is finally at rest, when it's at play, then ecstasy can come. Only then can it visit you. And it will play inside you in soft zephyrs, swirling subtly at first, and you'll experience times of intense softness where it seems light is flowing all around you. And this is how grace visits us. It swells. Ecstasy swells and dips. It isn't a consistent energy. It's like the wind. So you have to give yourself to it. And how many people in today's world are visited by this grace, but are too busy to recognize it? If only we knew that the angels are all around us. So the master of delight becomes that human teacher. And each city is a different kind of mastery. And the 46th city loves the human body, loves its movement, its delicacy, its ability to taste the essences of life. We humans, we have no real idea of the capacities of this body in which we live. You know, it can sip the nectar of a star when it's correctly attuned. It can make sweet love to another person just from thinking about them. The body's a mirror of the macrocosm. It has so many jewels and treasures within it that we couldn't explore them all if we had eons. Our bodies, they're the great untamed wilderness. They're the frontier. Not the final frontier, the only frontier. And we will never exhaust their abilities, their capacity for love and ecstasy. Ecstasy begins with the breath. When we learn to breathe deeply, not in a forced way, but in a relaxed and open way, then the softness of life can approach us. There are ways of living that we've forgotten, and we used to live like this. Just sitting, just having enough to provide for our simple needs, just being together, drinking tea, talking and laughing and being silent under the stars. You know, one day we'll return to those times when ecstasy is allowed once again back into the garden and life becomes a gentle festival. Listen to this. It's from the Tao Te Ching. Imagine a small state with a small population. Let there be labor-saving tools that aren't used. Let people consider death and not move far. Let there be boats and carts, but no reason to ride them. Let there be armor and weapons, but no reason to employ them. Let people return to the use of knots and be satisfied with their food and pleased with their clothing and content with their homes and happy with their customs. Let there be another state, so near people hear its dogs and chickens, but live out their lives without making a visit. Let there be another state, so near people hear its dogs and chickens, but live out their lives without even making a visit.